listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited that you're here. It is Monday, April 16th, 2007, 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. And I'm sure you've all been watching the news today. Obviously, a big incident, although incident by no means encompasses the scope of what they've been talking about. But basically, big incident at the Virginia Tech campus, and I'm sure you guys have all been paying attention and have lots of things that you'd like to contribute to our conversation. You're more than welcome to do so. Basically, going to cover a couple of stories here, and then later on, next hour, we're going to talk to our guest, Grant Hall, also sponsor of our show, and we'll chat with him about privacy crisis. This is exactly the kind of thing that we talked about last week. This is why the privacy crisis incident book and the procedures and the methods are so important, folks, because you have to be able to protect yourself. There are many ways, and a lot of people would say, oh, yes, well, that would never happen to me because I carry a gun with me. Well, bully for you. If you are not able to be located, you will never need to use that gun. So there's more than one way to protect yourself, folks, and that's what we'll probably discuss with Grant because it is vital that we understand these things. And then, of course, the rest of the show we'll do my news because, obviously, this is a big news day, big news story, and it deserves some attention, if only because of the implications of it. Yes. So welcome to all of you who are joining us on shortwave frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online, republicbroadcasting.org. Listening at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Welcome all of you to the show. Our phone number, which you should know at this point, 800-313-9443, toll-free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So interesting, of course, that this would happen so close to the anniversary of the Columbine shooting, which was April 20th, 8 years ago coming up. And here we've got a shooting taking place today at the Virginia Tech campus, and, you know, fairly close, the 16th, the 20th. Not that I'm making any sort of connection by any means, but also, of course, April 20th is, isn't that Earth Day and also Adolf Hitler's birthday? So anyway, I don't know. I've done shows on Columbine and with the Columbine survivors. I remember watching that thing very, very clearly as it went down. Today's incident, obviously, I didn't watch it as it was happening because it happened relatively quickly insofar as to say, by the time that the media got on the scene, it was virtually over. And, you know, I watched a great portion of it, but for the most part, it had already ended. But the news was still, you know, coming out as things happened. And it's still coming out now, in fact. But the big thing that they're hyping this about is saying this is the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, the worst campus shooting in U.S. history. So guess what? Yet again, we've told you this before. Whenever the word historic or unprecedented or, you know, things like that, rare, you know, whenever these words start coming into the equation with a news story, it is absolutely worth paying attention to. And that's why this story is worth paying attention to, aside from all the other things. I mean, it's tragedy personified, and it's a real heartbreaker to watch and hear about stuff like this. However, of course, the main thing in the coverage, which I watched all afternoon and morning as well, is that they were already calling it, it's like they were tabulating all the people who had been shot. And as soon as they knew a total of people who had been shot, then they were saying, this is the worst shooting case in all of U.S. history on campuses. You know, kind of like, oh, now we've got a new term for it, you know. And then once they had found out how many had died, and again, it varied from one all the way up to where it is now, which is 33 from what I understand, you know, then they had something new to glom onto. So the media is just looking to exploit this. But there are still some truths coming out, perhaps not going to be explored. We'll have to wait and see. But day one, and certainly in the early hours, that's the time to start digging into the news. And we've got some things here for you. So stay with us, folks. Back in 3 minutes.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gentrify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect night. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt, I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SolayWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com. The number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and cover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222. Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I'm glad you're aboard with us this evening. Got a lot of news. We're going to talk about this shooting that took place at Virginia Tech University earlier today. I'm sure you all have heard about this, but there is, again, if you collect news or you read the news, as I try to do, then you're very familiar with each individual story is going to have an additional tidbit of information. Even if it's speculation at some point, a lot of times we'll hear unnamed sources have reported this and so on and so forth. That's how, excuse me, how we first heard a lot of information. For example, all the types of weapons they were finding. They're saying, well, the official is we don't have any answers, but according to a law enforcement official, two pistols were used. So really, that is just astounding to me. And granted, it's not that I don't understand what a firearm can do. It is astounding to me that one person, in the span of, oh, I don't know, 2.5 hours, was able to kill 33 people, including himself, of course, and nothing was done. It's a real tragedy, especially because if you look at the footage, and I'm sure you all have seen it, there's footage, various footage, bits of footage out there, not just the one that was taken by people using camera phones, which highlights something we addressed last week, which is these citizen reporters, citizen journalists and whatnot. And we talked about how the British have basically said that, you know, this is going to be really bad news for us because people are going to start releasing their own information. Well, you know, the guy that shot the footage, they had basically he sent it to CNN first, and they had it from what I understand. And they've named him an iReporter, which is their little citizen journalist program where you can apply to be a citizen reporter and basically, you know, you don't get paid or anything. But it's basically how they get you to do their work for them, which is good, I think, to a certain extent, as long as they're not censoring various things, which inevitably they will be. But they did air that footage, and that's great. Well, the local media on the scene, and you've all seen it, they show guys getting out of cop cars, and they've got their riot gear on, which, you know, absolutely an appropriate time for this type of response. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you may have seen the university president. He gave a statement earlier, and he said, yes, local, what do you say, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, federal law enforcement are assisting our campus police force. What? They're all assisting the campus police? Unlikely. More likely that the campus police is assisting them. However, it was really intriguing to see a variety of severely obese police officers running with their semi-automatic weapons, their AR-15s and whatnot. But if you've seen the footage, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, this is apparently they had the goods and they brought the goods, but they brought the goods way too late. They didn't even shoot this guy. He shot himself. So what the hell were they doing for 2.5 hours? Well, we've got some things. Yeah, probably the donut thing. I don't know. Hard to say, Thomas. But we've got here the from the Daily Mail, this report, their version of it. And again, each individual story has tidbits that I think you should be made aware of. So here we go from the Daily Mail. To terrified students lined up against the wall of their classroom and shot execution-style. Doors chained shut by the killer to keep his victims in and police out. Blood-soaked bodies piled on top of each other. He basically went in there. He locked the doors from the inside with chains and locks, and then no students could get out. Says, these were the scenes of almost inconceivable horror at Virginia Tech University yesterday, or today, as a gunman claimed at least 32 lives before himself. He was said to have quarreled in a dormitory with his girlfriend, whom he believed had been seeing another man. A student advisor was called to sort out the row, but the killer produced a gun and shot dead both his girlfriend and the advisor. So that's how it started. And from what I understand, someone 7:15 or something like that, he confronted his girlfriend, and apparently there was some yelling or something. Somebody called the dorm advisor, the resident advisor, whatever you want to call it, dorm supervisor. And this person went down there kind of to defuse the situation. Guy had guns, shot them both dead, and then that was it. He left. Campus police, basically. This is all what we'll get into the news version of it, but just to recap if you've not been paying attention. So then the guy leaves. Campus police show up. They find, you know, two dead bodies, and they down that building. Assuming, and this is in their own words, assuming that the gunman had fled campus. Well, he probably did, but he came back because there were two separate locations of shooting. The same guy presumed it both. So he went there, he killed those two, he left, okay, instead of going to location number two, which is about 10 minutes from location number one, and then he came back, and he did the same thing, just indiscriminate killing the second time around. So same guy, same guns. And, of course, the big show of police force, although obviously too little, way too late. Anyway, it goes on. 2 hours later, he rampaged through an engineering building on the other side of campus in the town of Blacksburg, killing indiscriminately. Student Matt Maroney said, quote, he had an ungodly ammunition on him. He was just dressed in a vest filled with clips and started firing away at classrooms. Another witness said of the killer, quote, he had a smile on his face, but there was no emotion in his eyes, end quote. Last with 15 more victims injured and the death toll expected to rise further, police and university authorities faced stark questions about their failure to act during the crucial 2 hours and prevent America's worst ever massacre. Some students continued their work unaware there was a killer in their midst, while university authorities merely sent around an email saying that a shooting was being investigated. So that's how they alerted students. They claimed that it was a variety of different things. They claimed that there were loudspeakers making announcements. They claimed that the resident advisors were knocking on doors, alerting the students as to what was going on. They claimed that they sent emails and they did phone calls. Now, I've not heard one account or read one account of anybody receiving a phone call. The university merely claimed that they did. The only account I heard about loudspeakers, aside from their version of events, is from a gal who called in to CNN, and basically she's an employee of the university. She's a graduate student, but she works there. And she was saying, I love this school with all my heart, and I hope when I get married and have kids and my kids choose to come here, this is the greatest school in the history of the universe. You know, all kinds of love for the school, which I found to be a little inappropriate, I suppose. I mean, I understand what she's saying, but, you know, just listening to it, you'd have to say, what is she angling for? And it would seem that she's a paid employee of the university. So it's possible she's towing the official line. She's basically being a media representative for the school. But the plain and simple fact is, regardless of the phone, regardless of the resident advisors, I did hear that that had occurred from various eyewitness accounts that I've read, that people did actually go and knock on the doors and sort of alert the kids to what was going on. And that's good. That's what they should do. But again, the email was sent out 2 hours after the first shooting took place. So the email was being sent as the shootings were continuing, and the email said simply that, and some of those were forwarded to various media. So there's some context here. But basically, it just said there was a shooting. It's being investigated. So people are reading that, presumably, even if they check their emails, okay, a second shooting is taking place. They're finding out at the first one 2 hours later. Bizarre, inefficient, and inexcusable, in my opinion. This is the same thing we had with Katrina, folks, when they said, oh, FEMA screwed up. Michael Brown's head needs to roll. Inevitably, somebody will be blamed for this, and obviously not the shooter because he has taken on life. So somebody else has to pay the price for this. But it goes on. The gunman was said to be of Asian appearance and dressed in a maroon hat, a leather jacket, and a black military vest, military-style shooting vest. He had ammunition strapped across his chest as he calmly walked from room to room, refilling his two 9mm guns as he shot students. He locked the doors of several classrooms to stop anyone from escaping. Some terrified students jumped for their lives from fourth-floor windows while others used desks to barricade the doors. Student David Jenkins says, quote, I know one person who was in a room when the shooter came in and everyone was shot. To escape, this person laid on the floor and played dead, end quote. So probably the smartest thing you could do, I suppose, although it's hinging a book, I suppose. Several teachers were among those shot. Student Derek Odell was hit in the arm, and he spoke of his terror as he faced the killer. He said, quote, he came into our room and started shooting. He let off a full round of bullets, and I was probably one of 10 or 15 people hit. There was no warning. It was just random shooting. He didn't say anything. He just shot and left. A lot of my classmates were hit, and possibly my professor, too. The people less critical, like myself, were able to hold the door shut because he tried to get back into our room. He started shooting through the door at us. Then the police came into the hall and cleared the hall. We all managed to get out to where the ambulances were waiting for us, end quote. So very, very interesting. It's a good picture into sort of what happened, obviously. When you're dealing with a shooting on a college campus, obviously I can quote these students as opposed to, you know, when you're dealing with college as a high school and whatnot. All these kids are minors. You can't release names or anything like that. So we'll probably get a little information as this develops. But what intrigues me is of course, the conditions and the situation between the first shooting and the second shooting and what could have been prevented. There could have been a great many things. But anyway, there's some other intriguing things. Listen to this. As some students fled the scene, they were tackled to the ground and handcuffed by police seeking to stop the killer fleeing in the chaos. So I understand that. I do. I don't think it's necessarily the right approach. But basically, the cops were just grabbing everybody who came running out, going after everybody, just in case. Oh, this might be this might be a suspect. This might be the shooter. This might be an accomplice. Let's just arrest everybody, I guess. And maybe somebody gave them some information, and they just started arresting Asians, I guess. We don't know. But what does this look like? For all the footage that shows all the cops looking great with their guns out and everything like that, it would appear that this thing was handled brutally, badly. Listen to this one. Some, however, around the campus were allowed to leave for their 8 a.m. classes, indicating again between the first and second shooting. But what really intrigues me is the tail end of the story. Again, Daily Mail is where you can find it. Tiffany O.T., who was one floor up in the Norris building, said that when the gunfire started, she and about 20 other students went to a teacher's office and locked the door. She said, quote, the gunshots were going off downstairs and half of our classmates were downstairs. We were just sitting there as if the shooter was going to come up the next floor. End quote. I have to pause here for a quick break, but when we come back, I'll finish her quote. And if you haven't heard it yet, it'll probably surprise you. Stay with us, folks. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise. Call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service is great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of bulls oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. We left off. We were discussing the story from the Daily Mail. Again, first thing that really intrigued me was that basically, if you've seen the video, you know that you could quite clearly hear the shots from outside. So presumably as these shots are happening, police officers are basically throwing people to the ground as they run out in fear of their lives. Very, very tragic. That would happen. I mean, with all the people we saw, you know, what happened? You know, the only people on campus, presumably with guns, were the ones waiting outside to tackle people as they came in. One guy with two pistols. 33 people dead, including himself. And the guys with the guns, outside. Why? Because their job is not to protect and serve. They are not required to do that. Now, a lot of people are saying, yes, the students need to be armed, the teachers need to be armed, and this and this and this. There's something to that, perhaps, but that's not what we're going to talk about right now. Listen to this. Tiffany Ote, who was one floor up in the Norris Building, said when the gunfire started, she and about 20 other students went to a teacher's office and locked the door, which we already read that, and we were sitting there as if the shooter was going to come up the next floor. Here's where it gets interesting. Quote, maybe 10 minutes later, we were in the room, and the police arrived. They told us to put our hands above our heads, and if we did not put our hands above our heads, that they will shoot you. We will shoot you, they said. We were running out of the building freaking out. Again, she said, quote, they told our hands above our heads, if we did not put our hands above our heads, we will shoot you. We were running out of the building freaking out, end quote. So here you've got a gal. I don't even know how old she is, but she goes to the school, I presume. She's not a teacher, so she's probably fairly young. Her and a bunch of kids, 20 kids, hid out in a teacher's office, locked the door. They hear the gunfire. They're terrified. They are worried that the gunman's going to come up to their room and shoot through the door, kick the door, whatever. And anyway, so presumably the police are there, and they're like, yes, thank God, our heroes. They've come to rescue us. They open the door. The cops say, everybody put your hands on your head or you're going to get shot instantly. What? She said that she could hear the shooting coming from another. Yes, I understand that there might have been more shooters. Yes, I understand that there may have been a different situation. This school had just done a drill for a shooter on campus a year earlier. And this is the screwed up things that they got out of this drill. It just goes to show you, what's the point of the drills? Nobody pays attention. Nobody follows the rules. It says the shooting will reopen the often heated debate about gun control in the United States, whose constitution declares that people's right to bear arms must not be infringed. That's how the story basically wraps up here in British press, the Daily Mail. .co.uk if you're interested. Very, very interesting. So now we find out some interesting stuff about the police and sort of their take on the whole thing. Here's some interesting stuff on the shooter. Also came out today, suntimes.com. Authorities were investigating whether the gunman who killed two people on the Virginia Tech campus in the deadliest shooting rampage in U.S. history was a Chinese man who arrived in the United States last year on a student visa. The 24-year-old man arrived in San Francisco on United Airlines on August 7th on a visa issued in Shanghai, the source said. Investigators have not linked him to any terrorist groups, said the source. However, they don't even know if it's the same guy, because apparently the gunman shot himself in the face and they were unable to identify him. Presumably they can at some point, at some level, somehow, some way. If he was dating a girl on campus, as that first story indicates, you know, she had friends. Her friends must have known who he was. Police, it says, believe three bomb threats on the campus last week may have been attempts by the man to test the campus's security response. So they had three bomb threats, not one, not two, count them, three bomb threats last week in the span of five school days. Three bomb threats, a shooting today. They had a shooting a little while back, a couple years ago, I think it was, maybe a year ago. And they ran drills for this exact scenario. And this guy, person, 24-year-old Chinese immigrant over here on a student visa with two pistols, kills 33 people. I hope that enforces your good feelings that you have about all the drills, the FEMA drills and Homeland Security drills, all anti-terror drills, all these drills that they do in this country, designed solely for one purpose, to make you feel better. Hopefully working, right? Goes on. The exits to the building where the shootings occurred were chained to the shooter. Students complained there were no public address announcements or other warnings on campus after the first burst of gunfire. They said the first word they received from the university was an email more than 2 hours into the rampage, around time the gunman struck again. So this is supposed to be a school that's prepared. This happens every year, or, you know, many, many times in 1 year. We have stories like this. There was the shooting there at the Amish school in Pennsylvania, okay? And everybody started talking about this again. And then here we are. It happens this time at a university with, what, the city cops, the state cops. You've got the sheriff's department and the campus police and presumably any federal authorities that are involved in these sorts of things. And this guy still manages to pop. That's just amazing to me. Stay with us, folks. We're back in 3 minutes with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of Famicom is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has served 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payment immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.indebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator. For a lot less than you'd expect, this portable system could chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator from kensolar.com at 239-677-3003. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hi, I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't find those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking. I am your host, Frank Whalen, talking about the big shooting happening today at Virginia Tech University. Certainly an awful, awful thing. Inevitably, you expected this sort of thing. Again, the British story sort of referenced it. Inevitably, this is going to bring up the issue of gun control. Well, it has already come up, and it didn't take long at all. In fact, all the politicians have to weigh in. We saw Bush and Obama also gave a statement, and all the rest of them, too, just completely politicizing something like this, which I despise. This is one of the reasons why I hate politicians. And it doesn't surprise me at all, but listen to this one. All right. April 16th today, obviously. This is mysanantonio.com in the blog section. And here's what the blogger wrote. If the man who caused the bloodshed at Virginia Tech today had been armed with a bow and arrow or a machete or even a grenade, odds are that most of the 22 confirmed dead might still be alive. Odds are that most of the 28 injured people might not be injured. Please argue with me, he writes. Please tell me that guns don't kill, but rather that people do, because that's a pretty crappy distinction to make. The gun allowed to kill 22 people. Without a gun, he kills two, maybe three. Everyone else could have run or overpowered him before there was much bloodshed. To me, 18 or 19 lives matter more than anyone's right to own weapons. He goes on. A gun nut will argue, if the students only had guns, then maybe they could have stopped him. Yeah, right, he writes. There's nothing save a classroom full of frantic college students squeezing off rounds during the chaos that ensues after a gunman had opened fire. Between their classmates are reaching for their own guns, others scurrying for cover, and others dying in their desks. The death toll might have climbed to 200. It's very, very amateurly written, and again, it's just a blogger. It's not a professional, but nevertheless, he goes on. What's done is done. The Second Amendment is still safe, but the story in Virginia has been heartbreaking to watch as it unfolds. Scratchy possible cell phone video showed a line of ambulances queuing to pick up the bodies. On MSNBC, Don Clark, the former San Antonio FBI special agent in charge, likened the body count to a quote-unquote combat operation. over at Tech Sideline, a Virginia Tech sports message board. Former students and web users not affiliated with the school sought each other out trying to come to grips with the tragedy. School shootings profoundly affect each of us because they hit us where we are most vulnerable, our children. Even frat boys and cheerleaders waking up from a weekend bender are kids, and they're supposed to be safe on a college campus. Their lives haven't started yet. They've never got to taste the agony and ecstasy of adulthood. Their parents sent them away hoping that 4 years and $50,000 later, the children left home would come back as adults. Instead, they've come back in pine boxes because of some dumbass sociopath with gun. Not my words, folks. That's his words, obviously. A couple of key points. First of all, if you're trying to write something that sounds moderately professional, you don't need to throw dumbass in there. That's ridiculous. Although, wait till you comment to this story. Secondly, I'm not quite sure that a college education, presumably 4 years, and again, unless it's a two-year school, I don't know, get a college education for $50,000. And you can't get a college education in 4 years unless you go to summer school and all that jazz. So I doubt sincerely that 50 grand is going to cut it for an education, quote unquote. Thirdly, I don't think they bury people in pine boxes anymore. I mean, just some nitpicky stuff for me. All right. Here are the comments. Now, it's a 1.5-page story, folks. And then there are 14 pages of comments. Just little bits and pieces people wrote to comment on this story. Listen to what they had to say to this guy. Now, a lot of people would make you think that the gun control issue is pretty well balanced, that there are people for gun control, people against gun control. Let's hear what the kids have to say in regards to this story. Said the first poster, quote, "Yeah, moron, if he had several grenades and tossed them into different classrooms, not somebody would be injured or killed. What an a-hole," end quote. Second post, quote, "Yeah, machetes would have reduced the death count. It's not like they're the weapon of choice in genocidal campaigns in Africa or anything," end quote. Third quote, "Things like this would not happen if there were metal detectors at the doors of every building on campus." All right, so that's another thing to toss into the mix. Here you've got an immigrant on a visa with guns committing a school shooting at historic proportions. You can spin that all sorts of ways. You could say, look, it's not the Mexicans. Mexicans are just here to work and better their lives. It's the Chinese we got to watch out for, Chinese. I don't know that that's going to necessarily be the place, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all, a little bit. Secondly, of course, you can add to the list of new regulations and implementations, biometric scans. Yeah, the kids had identity cards and whatnot, but, hey, anyone can steal an identity card. Why not use fingerprint scans and ocular scans and maybe a DNA test every time they want to go from one building to the next? I'm exaggerating, of course, but this inevitably will lead to the RFID thing. Now no one who's not a student can get on campus unless they jump through hoops. So they're talking about metal detectors. Trust me, the agenda is to take it far worse than that. All these posts were made when it was still, as the original story had said, 22 dead. Now it's 33, and presumably it will get more and more as time goes on. So we just don't know. All right, the fourth comment says, quote, "The Second Amendment is clear. Argue for good or ill all you want, but the base fact remains our founding fathers felt we should all have the right to own firearms. Without them, we are powerless pawns of the state. Bravo." Another comment here says, here's an interesting quote from a German who argued for gun control. Quote, "Germans to use firearms should join the SS or the SA. Ordinary citizens do not need guns, as their having guns does not serve the state." End quote. Heinrich Himmler, 1936. Here's another quote. "The state of Virginia failed to pass a bill last year that would have permitted students and faculty on the campus of VT to carry weapons. If just one student had been armed, it could have been made a tremendous difference, just as it did in the mall in Salt Lake City. A call to 911 will not save you. In the minutes it takes to make the call and get a response, you're dead, even from a bow and arrow. The courts have already said that you do not have the right to expect the police to protect you. You must protect yourself." End quote. Bravo. Here it goes on. Quote. Another comment. "As a college student myself, I am outraged not only that you would use the deaths of these people and the suffering of their families to further your political agenda before the smoke is even cleared, but also your arrogance in calling us children. This patronizing view of young adults is, in my opinion, an enormous factor which contributes to this sort of tragedy. What if the 18 and 19-year-old soldiers in Iraq prepared to sacrifice his life, right or wrong, for his country? Is he also a child? Stop a moment to consider that it may be the lack of respect we young adults receive from older generations, along with your insulting journalism, that leads to some maladjusted students doing such heinous things so they might prove that they are not children." End quote. It's an interesting point. I don't know if I agree with it, but it's interesting. Anyway, another post says, quote, "I'll give you an alternative answer to if the students had the guns argument. Police report to a campus after being told there's a shooter there. Instead of finding one student with a gun, they find 30 or 300 students with guns. What happens next? Well, you'll get action that makes Kent State look like a picnic. Excellent point as well. The police were willing to shoot kids, victims, who didn't put their hands in the air. What do you think they would have done if these guys had guns? They just started mowing down faculty members so they could save the day. All they're doing is adding to the victims list. It's an interesting point. I'm not saying that, you know, the faculty shouldn't have guns. I don't think the students should. Can you imagine that? It's a bunch of kids reaching in their backpack like they're going for an apple or a sandwich, just pulling out sidearms, start blowing people away. Hey, I think that person, I saw him shaking hands with the shooter last week. He might be not. Let's shoot him too, just in case. He does have a gun in his backpack. So anyway, that's an interesting point about the students having guns is one thing. But, you know, if you've got campus police and they've got guns, but they're not going in the building, well, that's not helping anybody, is it? But it would have ended things pretty quick. And again, regardless of the whole should the students have guns argument or should the faculty have guns argument, regardless of all that, if they had locked down the campus after the first shooting, nothing would have happened. Had two dead, not 33. Two, not 33. Do the math. Very, very simple. And they locked down schools for all reasons. There was one story, a kid said he saw a guy dressed up as Batman jump over the fence in the back of the school. They locked the school down. He just made it up. He admitted to that later. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I just made it up. Okay, but hey, their lockdown procedures worked. Elementary schools have this stuff down. Universities, not so much. Let's read another comment here. Quote, why don't we ban cars and doctors as well? What if he would have used car to run down people walking to class? He could have killed twice that many. Doctors kill more people in the U.S. every year than does gun-related violence. Get a clue, dumbass. The guns that you want to ban are those of good American citizens who own them legally. The crime committed using guns is with an illegal weapon. Banning guns will do nothing more than let criminals know they have nothing to fear. So please move to China or any other country of your choosing. You really are not needed here, end quote. Yeah, well, alcohol too, sure, everything. It goes on. Listen to this one. Quote, are you all insane? He is absolutely right, meaning, of course, the author of that gun control piece. This is not about an America crap. Are you kidding me? Freedom to what? To kill? This is not about car accidents or tobacco. It's about one psycho's fascination with mass killings and how extremely easy the law makes it for this people to own a gun and kill this people. What does that mean? Guns are meant to kill. That is what they're for. And yes, they should limit permits and availability. You are going to tell these students tobacco kills more people yearly? That is just stupid, lame argument. You all for sure have no kids nor know of the dangers. Hopefully this will never happen to anyone you know because the pain would be unbearable. I hope these families find the strength to go on in life, end quote. So, interesting, isn't it? You got a shooting, and what gets mentioned? Cars, freedom, guns, metal detectors, tobacco, what? Immigrants will probably be addressed. Police response has to be addressed. You've got, again, the campus police. You've got the local sheriff. You've got the city cops, the state cops, and any federal agencies all involved. Great coordination, guys. You did nothing. He didn't even shoot the guy who was doing the shooting. He shot himself. He had two little pistols, two 9mm, which I know, hey, it probably sounds little on paper. Having one shot at you probably is a completely different issue. Doesn't seem so little when one's pointed at you is what I'm saying. But you see all this foot cops running down the campus with their AR-15s? For nothing. Anyway. Thoughts, 800-313-9443. We got a good 15 minutes before our guest joins us. There's plenty more of these stories, but we won't get into them right now. See what Drew Ansel has to say. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I didn't know if I was going to get in before your guest came on. I really appreciate the opportunity. First of all, I want to thank your listeners for all the get well cards that I have finally found in all these emails that come to me. I would like to thank Melinda down in Texas, who made a donation to my News and Views website for the posting of News and Views.
Wonderful.
And so that's kudos to Frank Whalen and to James Foreman with getting the word out that I really was basically in a hurt mind, destitute, and in the hospital.
Well, I'm just glad you're doing better, brother.
I am. I got the only thing I learned at the VA was that I got three good meals a day for 10 days. And I mean really good food. But as far as health care, the only real good advice I got was from a Russian doctor who was there for a few minutes and with her smirky grin and said good and left. And I got out, and I've gone and seen a chiropractor for this pinched nerve in my back, and I got one more doctor's appointment with him, and I've gotten 100% better.
Well, I'm thrilled with that.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, with all of that said, I wanted to chime in with your gun stories, because my show happens to be tomorrow was going to be specifically about the Pennsylvania gun laws that are specifically Pennsylvania HB 760 gun legislation limiting gun ownership and registration of guns, man registrations in Pennsylvania. But because of what's happened today, I did a lot of investigating. I called the University of Pennsylvania, LSU University, the University of Louisiana Tech, and the University of Illinois, and talked to specifically to students at the student unions. And of 15 students that I interviewed, Frank, 14 of them made basically the generalized comment, guns don't kill students. Students kill people with guns. And then I did a little more investigation. Mm-hmm. I found out that this was a Chinese student that was killing at the University of West Virginia. And as you I don't know this, but those of us that are educated in the Chinese history, if you're going to school in a foreign country and you fail, you come back to your parent country, you're basically destitute from your family. You're looked down on. And the government kind of looks at the fact that they wasted their money on you.
Mm.
Now, last thing is, I also called the Marine Corps recruiter there and asked him. I said, hey, Gunny, answer me a question. Do you know how many active reservists are going to school at West Virginia at the university there? And he looked it up. And you know that there are 1,500-plus Iraqi war veterans going to school at this university, but they're not allowed to bring their guns to the campus even though they're registered.
Wow.
Now, the next thing is, it is against the law in the state of Virginia for teachers to bring duly registered, duly licensed teachers to bring their guns to the university. Now, think about this one. In the United States, at two other shootings here where students at high schools had their guns in the back of their trucks, went and grabbed those guns and stopped shootings by students at those schools this last year. And that wasn't reported except by the Jews for Gun Ownership advocacy group out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went out there and looked up some little things, and I found out an article that discusses teachers' gun ownership. And out of that article on teachers for gun ownership, this article is specifically where did I have that article? It specifically made a comment in the article about gun control and gun reform with teachers, highlighting the question. Is arming teachers the solution to school shootings?
Hang on a second, real quick. Short break here, my friends. We'll get back. And I'm anxious to see sort of where this all goes with Drew's research, who, of course, delves deep into the news every day. We're very privileged he's called in. Stay with us. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free material packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently dry indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. My husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil natural cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage, credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your debt, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. By the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Back, folks. Glad you're here. Tail end of hour number one. You are listening to Frankly Speaking. We're going to have our guest joining us here in the next hour, but he'll be with us through the midnight hour in the Central Time Zone. Then after that, we've got 2 hours and get back into this particular topic specifically if you're interested. But Drew in Arkansas, welcome back. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I want to finish this up, and I'll finish it really fast.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, gunowners.org. has got this article about teachers and should teachers be armed. And as you read this article, you'll find out real fast that midway through the article, in 1996, Australia instituted their gun ban. And what you need to know is 10% of the murders went up. Murder went up 10%. Assault went up 17%.
That's right.
Armed robbery went up 73%. In Great Britain, they outlawed guns in 1997. Homicide jumped 50%. Mugging, armed robbery increased 53%. All handguns and gun violence up over 65%. Now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is a tragedy that we have that we've had this thing happen today. And the truth, of course, is that taking away our constitutional and guaranteed right to keep and bear arms won't make us any safer if they take this right away.
That's right.
Because evil people can get guns just like this kid today.
Well, that's exactly right. Tell me how a and you might know better about the gun laws than I do, but tell me how an immigrant on a student visa is qualified for a legal gun.
He's not qualified at all for a
There you go. Time. Well, that's the point, then. This is an incident where gun laws it wouldn't have made a bit of difference. Again, is it illegal for this guy to have a gun? With his current status, yes. It sounds like he should be. However, it's also illegal to kill people, let alone 33. So, you know, obviously people who are willing to do this are going to find ways to get guns, and people who are willing to kill one person are willing to kill 30, you know, plus people. So what difference does it make? The point is that we have to be smarter. You know, the law does not stop people from doing things. The law does not protect people. That's just a fact. All the law does is prosecute offenders. That's it.
Exactly. And here's one final thing for you, Frank. This gun was stolen and then purchased. And here's the big kicker. Right here in Arkansas, 27 policemen and 14 troopers have had their guns stolen from them. And over 3,000 rounds of ammunition stolen from these officers.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is stolen equipment. Now, from Arkansas, and it's easy for you to double-check my word, but the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, information and request to your state can give you this information. All you got to do is look out there, taking guns away. We have got to network and get the word out there. Gun control does not work except to allow our children to be killed in these universities.
Amen, sir.
Take care. God bless. Thank you.
Drew, God bless you, and thank you for all your hard work. Are you still there, by the way? Okay, he dropped off. You know, we've actually, Drew and I have talked about this before, about this the incidents of school shooting. And it is curious, you know, to take a look at the conditions that exist in commonality with other things, such as when they occur, what day of the week, what time of the day. Because obviously, if you're in, you know, I never took any morning classes. If you're going to kill someone and you're premeditated about it, you're not going to go to sleep. You're going to stay up all night and you're going to shoot them in the morning. It just, I don't know, it just makes sense. I don't know. But then you also have to look at this. What I understand, this stat was absolute fact years ago. I don't know if it still holds true today, that every one of the school shootings, the perpetrator had some sort of antidepressant. Stay with us, folks. We're back with our guest in about 90 seconds.
It's true.